We invite you to turn your Bibles to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse number 19. This is the third of three messages regarding this subject of verily, verily, I say unto you. We consider that in the Old Testament, and then there were those verilies that were there and the different things that our Lord affirms to us and puts that special emphasis on, if you will. Last Sunday that I preached, Sunday before last, we took a look in the New Testament scriptures and about where the Lord Jesus, it's accounted there that he said, "Verily I say unto you." And in the New Testament scriptures, what we see in that word in the Greek is that it's the same word for amen. As we teach and preach and pray, there's an affirmation that we make and an affirmation that's made in the scriptures. And this word that we say, amen, we agree with that, and may the Lord bring it to pass. May the Lord help and work in it. And that's what this is an amen said by our Lord. It's definite, it's sure. If you will, very, very important information that you and I cannot do and operate without. We need to know these things. Here in our text verse in John chapter 5, verse number 19, it says, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." And this has been our theme verse for all three of these messages, our text verse, to see this about verily, verily, I say unto you. And in this passage we see that our Lord indeed is not a freelancer. He came to do that which the Father gave him to do. Also in this we see, and think about this, even our Lord Jesus Christ, when he became a man, is accountable to God. Even our Lord Jesus Christ, as a man, is accountable unto God. Every person is accountable. If our Lord Jesus, as a man, is accountable to the Father, and yes, Brother Jim, he's God, and that's true, but he also is a man. He's 100% man and 100% God. And you and I, we grapple, we struggle to have understanding of that and really get the sense of that. And because that's the way it is with us, is we're 100% man. We have the Spirit of God living within, and by virtue of that, our souls have been saved. But our Lord is 100% man and 100% God. And as a man, he is accountable to the Father. Listen to what he says. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself." You hear that? "And nor can we." We can do nothing without our Lord. "But what he seeth the Father do," and that's the example that we have, "for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." And as his children, we need to be following our Lord and doing what he does. In John chapter 13, and I find it interesting that all of these verily, verilies are contained right here in the Gospel of John. John was of the Lord was directed to have that special sense and that sensitivity and emphasis on these things that were said by our Lord. Every person is accountable. Verse number 16 of John 13, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him." We're all accountable. And we're all accountable indeed unto our God, our Lord and our King. In light of that, we want to take a look here in John chapter 8. Look what our Lord says in verse number 34. And really, all of these passages, all of these points could be expounded upon and messages upon each one. And we just don't have time for that. But we'll just touch on them, and may we be challenged by these things. And the Lord give us help and understanding to be obedient in them. John chapter 8, verse number 34, Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." Another point that we see here in these verily, verilies is that everyone is a servant. Everyone is a servant. I read to you over there and for us over there in John 13, 16, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord." You know what? You're a servant. I'm a servant. We're either the servant of sin or we're the servant of our Lord. How is it with you? Whose servant are you? We in our country, we've been blessed with great wealth and great independence and great liberty, indeed, in every way. And we in our country, as citizens of these United States, we have a tendency to think that our independence is far more reaching and widespread than it really is. We're all servants. And you know what? The servant of sin will die, but the servant of the Lord will live. Whose servant are you? Whose servant are you? Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. In John chapter 6, verse number 26, John 6, verse number 26, we see here another point that our Lord makes. Amen and amen. Verily, verily, these things are true. We must face these things. We must deal with these things. In John 6, verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. We see here with this crowd that the Lord's dealing with, this is the free lunch crowd, that's what I call them. The Lord had fed them, and then they made every effort not to go work, and not to go pursue their lives, but they made every effort to follow around with Jesus, even to going to the other side of the Sea of Galilee in a totally different place, whether it be by land or whether it be by boat, to be there again for when the Lord was going to have supper time or dinner time and provide them another meal. But the Lord challenges them and takes them to their true need, and He knows indeed our motive. Our Lord knows each and every one of our motives. He knows your heart. Our Lord knows your heart. You know, it's a way that it is with mankind. We are very able to fake one another out. We can put on airs and make one another, seek to make one another have a sense of our religiousness and our piety and such as that. It can be. We can be found truthfully following and obeying the Lord, or we can be found putting on a facade. But see, there's no facade with the Lord. We can fake one another out, but there's no faking out our Lord. And we need to be honest with our Lord. We need to be honest with one another. You know, because what's going to happen to a facade, it's built out of wood, hay, and stubble, and it's going to burn up. A facade is not salvation. Putting on airs of obedience and following the Lord with a heart so far from the Lord, no salvation at all, it doesn't weigh anything with the Lord. The Lord says we're actually going to be surprised at those that enter into the kingdom. And these are very sobering words, I know, and very things that are weighty and heavy, but we are called to make our calling and election sure. Do you have the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior? Or do you have religion? Do you have the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior? Or do you have some knowledge of some things that you think makes one acceptable before God? Our Lord knows our motive. Our Lord knows our heart. Here in the same chapter in John chapter 8, back to there, we see this in John 8, verse number 58. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, amen and amen, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. The Lord uses those Old Testament words, those words that we heard all the way back there with Brother Moses as he called him, let us know and let us be affirmed in our hearts that the Lord Jesus Christ is God. Verily, verily, amen and amen, He is the great I Am, come in the flesh. Jesus is God. In John chapter 3, a familiar passage, I trust, as the Lord deals here with Nicodemus, He says something to him that we need to get a hold of, and every person here in the house needs to get a hold of this. In John chapter 3, verse number 11, verily, verily, I say unto you, Jesus is speaking unto you, We speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. Now these words went out to Nicodemus, but they come out to us, to you and me today. What's the point? The Word of God is all we need. The Word of God is all we need. Jesus says, I've spoken unto you that which I know and that which is assured. Verily, verily, amen and amen, I speak to you what I know. The Lord Jesus speaking. And what it says here, and testify that we have seen. He said, God is telling you what we know, and God Almighty is telling you what we have seen. And you don't receive it. And you don't believe it. I tell you what, the Word of God is all that we need. We need to hear what our Lord says. Our Lord has given His Word, and that has been the operation and work of God. In the Old Testament Scriptures, it says that the Lord has magnified His Word above all His name. Now, that's saying something. That's a statement. That's a statement that what God is saying and what is meant by that is God intends for men, women, boys, and girls to hearken unto His Word. To hear what He is saying. That's the way that He has chosen to operate. And Jesus, the Son, has been sent, who is the Word. And He says, I'm telling you what I know. I'm telling you what I've seen. And you don't receive it. I tell you what, we need to receive it. We need to believe and trust and not conjure and work in our own wisdom, but hear the Word of the Lord. In John chapter 3, earlier in this chapter, we see this, hallmark passages in verse number 3 and verse number 5. He says, amen and amen, verily, verily, in verse number 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You know, that's true. That's the way that is. A man's got to be birthed again by the Lord to be able to see and know that God is in control of all this thing. Because in what I'm talking about, I'm not just talking about intellectual knowledge to know that God is in control. But see, people will say that they believe that God is in control, but yet go on without fear and just work and work and sin against God ad nauseum, if you will. I mean, just to their detriment and to their doom. Because, see, lip service doesn't mean that you get it. But I tell you what, you're born again. I tell you what, a sinner is born again by the Lord. They see that God is the King. They see that God is the one they're accountable to. They love the Savior for what He's done for them. And they seek to obey His will. Not put on a facade, but seek to be like Christ. Repent of their sins when they do find themselves at fault before the Lord, and asking the Lord to help them, and walking with the Lord, knowing that we're just passing through this place, but we're going on to a better place that our Lord has promised unto us. Verily, verily, amen and amen, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot see it. In verse number 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He gives clarity here that you've got to be alive to be able to be born again. You have to be born that first time. The children cannot be born again before they're born. It can't be. People can't. So you've got to live. That's that birth by water. And then that birth by the Spirit of God is that being born again. And you know what? Until that happens, you can't enter into the kingdom of God. Now, does that mean that the kingdom of God is non-existent? No, it exists truly. You tell me one part of this realm, what part of the creation is not under the dominion of God? Even Satan himself is restrained by God Almighty. He only is able to go with the rope that God Almighty gives him. All is in His kingdom. You know what? We've got a nation of people, and our nation is filled with people that believe that this kingdom of these United States is the kingdom that's the greatest and the kingdom that there's help and hope and a future with. I tell you what, this kingdom is nothing compared to the kingdom of our God. And without being born again, without being alive in the flesh, having life, having your heart beaten, and your brain and your intellect functioning correctly and as the Lord's design, and being born of the Spirit of God, you cannot enter into that kingdom. See, to really know that that is the kingdom that we are accountable to, that's the kingdom that's at work here. I hope I can make that clear. Many look to our president and the government of our land as the end all. I tell you what, the child of God that's been born again looks to the Lord as the end all. We've entered into that kingdom. We are soldiers of that kingdom, citizens of that kingdom. Unless you're born again, you cannot enter into it, nor can you see it. In John chapter 13, our Lord gives us another thing here that he affirms in this way. Verily, verily, amen and amen. In John chapter 13 and verse number 21, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. What we see here is that Jesus knows his own and those who are not. But you know what? You and I don't. Jesus knows those who are his and those who are not. I tell you what, that's the kind of God and Savior I want to have and do have, don't you? The one that knows. One that's not guessing at things. See, hope is for you and me. Hope is not for the Lord. He does. He has done, is doing, and will do. That gives us confidence. That gives us rest. Our hope is in the Lord, knowing that he has all power and ability, and we look to him and waiting for his timing to accomplish things. The Lord knows those that are his. Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. You and I know the confidence or lack of confidence that the disciples have in themselves. And I tell you what, it gives us a picture of true introspection. The disciples are looking around in there and at one another, and they're saying, aha! It's Judas. No, they didn't say that. They said, Lord, is it me? Lord, is it me? The other one said, Lord, is it me? They're all asking, Lord, is it me? Jesus knows his own and those who are not. Do you know the Lord, and does he know you? In John chapter 10, we see something here. And these things are all true. John chapter 10, verse number 1, verily, verily, it's very, very important. You cannot do without it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Our Lord tells us here, number one, he tells us that in his kingdom there's a sheepfold. In his kingdom, there's a sheepfold. You know what else is in his kingdom? Hell. Hell is in his kingdom. Didn't he not create it? Is he not in control of it? Does he not determine who goes there and who stays there? And I say that when you go there, you stay there. Because it's all by his power and his word. It's a place of his righteous indignation and wrath and judgment upon unrepentant sinners. But the Lord tells us here there's a sheepfold. And what's that? You got to get in that sheepfold by the door. Verily, verily, there is a sheepfold. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. You know, you don't get in the sheepfold by baptism. You don't get in the sheepfold by paying a big sum of money and a price. You don't get in the sheepfold by promising to not sin anymore. You get in the sheepfold by the door. What's the door, Brother Jim? Well, the Lord makes it clear and helps us in that. In verse number 7, what's he say? Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Who's the door? What's the door? Well, the door is the who? It's Jesus. And verily, verily, I say unto you, he says, I am the door. There's no other way but through him. And by him, you need the God-man, the man, Christ Jesus, the Savior of sinners, the Son of God, God himself and the manifestation of God toward to mankind. You need Jesus. You and I need Jesus. He is the door. Because I tell you what, you can't get into the sheepfold by any other way. There's no other way. Back there at the back between the slats or up over the top of the fence or the gate or the wall of that or up underneath the roof, you can't get in any other way. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheepfold, Jesus declares unto us. A world of people have and are and trying to get into the sheepfold, that of being saved and that of being the Lord's, some other way. But there is no way but our Lord. In John chapter 5, we see this, a greater emphasis, a continuing emphasis on this point, plainly, that Jesus is the Savior. In John chapter 5, verse number 24, verily, verily, a great emphasis and very important information, amen and amen, I say unto you, in John 5:24, hear that he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Faith. Faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Jim, that's what he said right there. That's what it says. You believe in God that sent him. You believe in the Son that was sent. You believe in him as the Savior of your soul and the only help and hope that you have everlasting life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and what is that word that Jesus preached from the beginning? Repent and believe the gospel, his death, burial, and resurrection, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life right now. Won't have to wait and see. We talk to so many people. Well, I hope so. I tell you what, you can know so by Christ. That's his operation and his design. Hath, present tense, everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Jesus is the Savior, and faith is the way that sinners are saved by him. Verily, verily, verse 25, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead, the unsaved, shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Oh, I'm praying that the Lord will cause ears and hearts to hear. Aren't you? I tell you what, can you hear this morning? Can you hear the Lord calling? Can you hear the Lord showing you your sin and your need? Jesus says, amen and amen. It's solid, it's steadfast and sure. I say unto you, the hour is coming. The hour is now when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God and what he says. And will hearken to that. And they that have ears to hear shall live. Shall live. You know, that's the reason we don't have preaching once a year. But we preach that gospel, and our brother last Sunday preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ Sunday morning. I tell you what, the saints of God rejoice in the gospel, and the gospel never gets old. If the gospel gets old, something's wrong. Something's wrong. It's by the gospel, our Lord, that our Lord's redeemed us and saved us. And Jesus indeed is the Savior. John chapter 6, we see here in verse number 47. John chapter 6, verse number 47. Verily, verily, very, very important information. Amen and amen. I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. In John chapter 8, verse number 51. Jesus is the Savior. John chapter 8, verse number 51. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Is the Lord saying you're going to keep something to be saved? Isn't that works, Brother Jim? No. Listen, wood, hay, stubble, promising to do something, committing to do something, paying something, making righteousness that you think that you can bring before God, those things are works. But the obedience of the word of the Lord is not a work. It's faith. Because a sinner believes, is brought to that point to believe that Jesus is the one that is commanded and they are bidden by him to hearken unto what he says. Keep the commandment of the Lord. Again, what's it start off with? Repent. Because the Lord's got a quarrel with the unrepentant. Because see, the unrepentant, they don't bow the knee to the Lord. They don't bow the knee to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm guilty, I'm wrong, I've sinned against you, and I deserve to go to hell. The unrepentant are looking for another way. The unrepentant always have an excuse. The unrepentant are always wrangling in some other thing. Why? Because they don't want to submit to the righteousness of the Lord. I tell you what, the Lord is calling sinners to repentance. And without repentance, what people are left with is their own self-righteousness seeking their own way. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. He'll never see that second death. And that's what's being taught, what the Lord is talking about. Oh, we're going to physically die. Our Lord is going to come for us in the clouds, and we're going to be translated. In a sense, this old flesh will die one way or the other. But I tell you what, the one that keeps his saying, the call of his gospel, the call of his word and his truth, and what the need of sinner souls is, repentance and faith in him, will never die that second death. Praise be to God. Our Lord Jesus is the Savior. In John chapter 13, we see here, in John 13, verse number 20, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. What's that tell us? I tell you what, the Lord's ordained that his church, his children that he saved and put in his church, go out and preach this glorious gospel. And receiving that gospel that is preached by the Lord's people and the Lord's ministers, the Lord's churches, receiving that they preach, is receiving him. Is receiving him. We, Olmsted Baptist Church, we're here. We are here to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world, to baptize those that believe, and to teach those believers that are enjoined here to the church all the things that our Lord has commanded for us to do and to follow him in, that we might go ahead and do it again. Do it again. If the word of Olmsted Baptist Church and the gospel of Olmsted Baptist Church that is preached, God's good word, the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached out here and sinners receive it, by receiving the Lord and the way that he's used us to convey that, if they receive what we preach, they're receiving what he's saying. It's his work. We're found in the midst of it. It's not because of us and by us. We're instruments in the Lord's hands. Because he's the Savior. We don't save sinners. Have we ever made that appeal to the community in the 60 years the church has been here? Come here and we'll save you. I tell you what, beware of a man. Beware of a group that will say that. But I tell you what, we can say this, come hear the good work of the Lord that can save you. Come hear the gospel and the word of the Lord that can save you. Our Lord Jesus is the Savior. John chapter 6, verse number 53. Jesus is the Savior. Listen, John chapter 6, verse number 53. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. And the children of God that have understanding say, amen. See, I need Jesus. You and I need Jesus. And we've been shown that we need Jesus more than we need food for our bodies. Sinners need to partake of Jesus Christ. I, as a child of God, being saved by the Lord, I don't say that was really a blessing for the Lord to die for sinners. I say, praise God, he died for me. See, there's a lot of people that knows that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary for us. But I tell you what, the individual, the sinner, needs to know and believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for them. He died on that cross for me. Nobody else is in the picture. He died on that cross for me. And that's how we partake of Him. He gave His body as a ransom, as a sacrifice, taking the wrath of God that I had coming to me. He took that for me. Except ye eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood. He shed His blood for me. The Lord's not talking about cannibalism. Makes it very clear in verse number 63 of this chapter. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, makes alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. He's speaking about the spirits. We must partake of Christ. Not just some religious exercise and put a little hex on you and throw a little something on you and send you out the door. Not a confirmation from some man or so-called priest. But partaking of Christ. Have you partaken of Christ? In John chapter 6 and verse number 32, we see our Lord and what He says here very clearly. And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Verse 48, I am that bread of life. Clarissa, for some time now, has been making some real good homemade bread. She's been in search of that. We started off with bread machines and been trying to work on that, and a bread machine sometimes works, sometimes doesn't. She gave up on that. She makes good bread now. She's researched that and figured that out. I think we're going to have some today. I encourage you to be there for lunch. It'll be good. You understand about bread? Good bread's very pleasant, isn't it? Put some butter on it, maybe some peach preserves. It's really, really good. We understand about eating bread. We understand about enjoying bread. We understand how it is in that sense that bread gives us life. But Jesus is the bread of life. He tells us that way so we can get it. If you and I don't eat, we will physically die. And I tell you what, if you don't partake of Christ, you will spiritually die. He is the bread of life. Amen and amen. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. I am that bread of life. In John chapter 12, we see something here, and this is the example of our Lord. This is the example of our Lord and the way that it works in His kingdom. And Brother Mark caused some thoughts to come to me here this morning, and as he was teaching in his lesson regarding this, in John chapter 12, verse number 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall unto the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. It's very, very important information. Amen and amen. It's solid and sure and steadfast. You can count on it. You and I must deny ourselves. You and I, men, women, boys, and girls, must deny ourselves. As Jesus has done, so must we die to self. I tell you what, you hang on to your life. You hang on to your reasoning about your life. You hang on to what you want to do and how you want to pursue and the way that you want to go. You're going to die. But I tell you what, you quit yourself. And you follow what Christ says and what He has done. You follow Him and His word and way and everything. I tell you what, you will live. You will live. As Jesus has done, so must we die to self. I declare unto you this morning, quit you. Quit you. You must quit yourself. Verily, verily. The Lord tells us this, except the corn of wheat fall to the ground and die. See, that corn of wheat, in that sense, in that analogy the Lord's given us there, in that picture He's given us, it doesn't quit. It quits wanting to be a kernel of wheat. It wants to quit. It quits doing for itself, but it dies. And in doing so, it can bring forth fruit. In doing so, there's that miraculous thing of life that comes forth from that death. Jesus gave himself completely so that we might live. And I tell you what, when we give of ourselves completely to the Lord and in his word and what he has said and what he has commanded, I tell you what, we will live too. It's in us naturally not to do that. But we must quit ourselves and follow what our Lord has said. In John chapter 13, verse number 38, our Lord tells us this. John 13, 38, and this is along the line of something that we took a look at earlier. Jesus answered him, "Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake?" He's speaking to Peter. "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice or three times." I tell you what, Jesus knows us better than we know ourselves. Our Lord Jesus knows us better than we know ourselves. We need to submit to him in every way. We need to ask, as Brother David did, for the Lord to cleanse us and to purge us and to wash us. For the Lord to show us and reveal our sin against him to us. We're so ate up with this world and so surrounded by this world and so much of our culture and our way of life that we've inherited, and it just the world just bombards us. Our Lord knows us better when we know ourselves. Peter said, "I'm going to die with you." But the Lord knew what was in him, didn't he? The Lord knew. And the thing is may we not take offense to that, but may we rather yield to our Lord. "Lord, help me." That becomes, I tell you what, I believe that becomes the prayer and the cry of a child of God that's growing up and maturing in the Lord, is in every way, "Lord, help me. Help me." Because we see our lack and our inability in this flesh. In John chapter 16, verse number 20, John 16, verse number 20. "Verily, verily, amen and amen, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice," talking about at his death. "And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy." You know what? Jesus knows the future. Jesus knows the future, and we can rest in that. I don't have to know the future. I know someone who does know the future. And you know what? Everything in regards to the future, I go to him and I rest in him and I trust in him. And I tell you what, I find that difficult to do at times. But I tell you what, if we do, we'll have rest. We'll have peace. We can wait on him because he knows the future. He knows all about those things that lie ahead, and he will take care of his own. In John 14, verse number 12, John 14, verse number 12, we see here, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." You know, I've scratched my head about that verse for some years. Have you ever wondered about that verse? I mean, how could any do greater works than the Lord Jesus Christ? How could any do greater works? Listen, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also," so in kind, "and greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." I tell you what, I believe, how could that be? Our Lord Jesus' ministry, and we're not talking about, he's not talking about the works of his redemption, but he is alive at this point and before the cross. And you know what? The ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ was there in the land of Palestine, in the land of Israel, in just a very, very, really a very, very small geography. And so how could it be that others, that any, could do greater than him? Well, we read this in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. "And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Jesus didn't come preaching to every creature. But he's commissioned his churches to go out. And you know what? His word, his that aspect of his kingdom indeed has grown and gone. And men have tried to thwart it. And Satan has tried to fight against it and to put it down. And you know what? It is going out into all the world. Going out into all the world at the directive of our Lord. Verily, verily. He that believeth on me, the works that I shall do, the works that I do, shall he do also, following in kind with our Lord. And greater works than these shall he do, because I'm leaving this geography right now. I go to the Father, and he's been at the right hand of the Father since he ascended some 2,000 years ago, and he has left that charge to his people and his churches to carry that out. And to spread that gospel farther geographically than he ever did in his ministry. Yet, he working in us, it is our work and his work at the calling and blessing and power of the Lord. We know other promises related to that. In John chapter 21, verse number 18. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. What we see here is our Lord has a work for his children to glorify him. And that previous passage was in that line. Our Lord has a work for his children to glorify him. What is it? We're going to find it from his word. We're going to find it from the scripture. We're going to find it in the commands that he's given and the directive that he's given in the scripture. Our Lord, amen and amen, verily, verily, he has a work for his children to glorify him. In John chapter 1, and he told Brother Peter there in that passage how it would be for him. May we find that which our Lord has given us. We have it generally and we have it specifically by the leadership of the Spirit. And in John chapter 1, verse number 51, we see here, and he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Brothers and sisters, unsaved sinner friend, we see here that the power and the glory of our Lord Jesus is infinite. I tell you what, you and I might be wowed by video games and technology and the entertainment, movies and animation effects and special effects and all that. I tell you what, all of that is not real. It's not real. It's make-believe. But I tell you what, the power of God, and this what he declared unto the disciples there about them seeing the angels come down and strengthening him there in the Garden of Gethsemane. Those brethren that were there given to see his glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. And how we'll see our Lord come and how we'll be with him as we're with him forever when he comes for us. When we go by way of death from this earth and from this life on to be with our Lord in the meantime before he comes back. I tell you what. That glory, that power is real forevermore. And may we get a hold of that. May we get a hold of the true. May we get a hold of the eternal. In John chapter 16, verse number 23, John 16:23. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. The Lord speaking about his return to the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Jesus bids us pray to the Father. Jesus bids us. He tells us, he declares, he commands us to pray unto the Father for what we need, praying to him in his name. He says, verily, verily, amen and amen. It's a sure, solid thing. Whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. In Revelation chapter 22, as we close, we've seen in this message the verily, verilys, the double emphasis, the amen and amen that our Lord gave Brother John sensitivity to as he impressed him and inspired him to write his gospel. We can't help but come back to this one, that our Lord Jesus Christ, and is declared by Him here at the end of the book of the revelation of Christ that He gave unto John and to us, He is surely coming again. Our Lord Jesus is surely coming again. He which testifieth, Revelation 22:20, He which testifieth these things saith, surely, it's the same word. It's the same word in kind. Amen. Verily, verily, I come quickly. Amen. John writes, even so come, Lord Jesus. Verily, verily, I say unto you.